Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Number four. And we're all back, and we'll get right on with it so we can get out on time and we can be on our way home. For those of you out on television, I trust you know by now, we just put four of these programs together in one afternoon, and if you're ever in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you stop by. The food is all gone, isn't it? Just unbelievable. I went over to see if there's anything left, and it's all gone. So if you want a good afternoon of snacks and meat from the Word, why, come in and see us. Okay, we're going to pick right up where we left off in Daniel chapter 7, and then we're going to run back to the New Testament, and we'll get a brief picture where I'm not getting real in-depth here. But and again, I always realize that when it comes to these prophetic things, it's just like chronology. You can't find two prophecy guys that agree. Everybody has their own idea, and I still like to stick pretty much to the ones I've had over the years, and I've seen no reason to change a lot. Now I know with the advent of Islam and the Muslim world, a lot of the prophecy guys are going in that direction, that the Antichrist be Muslim and all that. And I don't think so. He may be Muslim, but he will still come out of the revived Roman Empire. And that, of course, means Western Europe. And you want to remember that Europe is turning Muslim so fast, it's no problem for somebody in a European government to be a Muslim. But anyway, the man Antichrist is probably alive and well. I think so. I think we're that close. And he will never be made known while we're here, because he cannot make his move until after the church is gone. But we'll look ahead at him a little bit. You know, I don't like to spend a lot of time on these things, but we're going to be gone anyway. This isn't what really matters. It's all right to have a cursory knowledge of these things, but don't get all hung up on those final 7 years, because after all, we're gone. And like one of the most ridiculous statements I ever got, a guy wrote, he says, "I can't agree with you on a pre-trib rapture." He says, "I want to be here." Imagine. He can have it. And he thought he wanted to be here to witness. Well, see, these kind of people are so ignorant. Just as soon as the church is gone, our gospel of grace ends. And that's the only gospel that he would know, I would think. But you see, Jesus made it so plain in Matthew 24 that when these final 7 years start, it'll go back to the kingdom gospel. Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." Well, when's the end coming? When the 7 years are finished, see? And so somebody of the grace persuasion won't get very far in those 7 years. So it's ridiculous to even think in those terms. All right, now we just left off in Daniel 7, and I'll read it again before we jump into the New Testament and pick up some more descriptions of this little horn who comes up out of the tent. Daniel chapter 7, once again, just to pick up where we left off, verse 8. He saw in verse 7, of course, the vision of this beast that had 10 horns. Now remember, these beasts are all governments. They're not wild animals. They're merely symbolisms of these empires that would be coming. And this last revived Roman Empire would have 10 horns, or 10 nation states, or 10 governments. All right, verse 8 again. "I considered the horns." In other words, these 10 nations. "And behold, there came up among them another little horn in the midst of the ten, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots." In other words, I think it's the 3 nations that are the smallest in the European Union. Now, I've said this for 35 years, and I see no reason to change, that it'll be the 3 little nations of Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. And they're all 3 of the 10 of the European nations. And I think that they will all of a sudden just lose their identity, and out of that 10 nations then will come this man Antichrist. All right, so it comes the little horn. Behold, there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn, this coming world leader, the Antichrist, were eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. And I made my comment just before the end of the half hour that he will be charismatic. He's going to be a smooth-tongued manipulator. He's going to be brilliant, and the world will fall at his feet. All right, come up with me now into the New Testament, and we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where in one of the few instances Paul makes a reference to Old Testament prophecy, but he hits the nail right on the head, of course, because the Holy Spirit inspired him to write it. And that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. We've looked at these verses many, many times over the years. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that is the beginning of those final 7 years, when the peace treaty is signed between Israel and the Muslim world, brokered by this man Antichrist. For that day shall not come, except or unless there comes a departure first or a falling away, and that man of sin, see, that's one of his titles in Scripture, and that man of sin, the one horn of Daniel, shall be revealed, and here's his another title, the son of perdition. These are all titles concerning this man, Antichrist. All right? The son of perdition. Now look how Paul describes him. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. In other words, the world is going to forget all about the God of Scripture. This guy is the one to whom they're going to be loyal. All right? So he opposes everything, exalts himself above everything that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, he will actually be like the Caesars, you know, who claimed deity, only this guy is going to do it even to a greater extent. And so he sits in the temple of God, which, of course, will be reconstructed in the first 3.5 years by virtue of the 7-year peace treaty. And so he'll sit in the temple of God, which will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, showing or letting the world know that he is God. All right, now that's Paul's account. Now let's come back to Revelation chapter 13. And now John the Revelator gives us another description of this same individual. And remember, he will be a human, born of a woman. But in the middle of the 7 years, Satan is going to indwell him like he did Judas at Christ's first advent. Revelation chapter 13. And John writes, I stood upon the sand of the sea, which another one, a symbolic picture of the sea of humanity, the teeming billions of the world's population. And out of the sea of humanity, I saw a beast. Now, again, this is a symbolic picture of this political world leader that's coming. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, out of humanity, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, the beast in Revelation, I usually picture as 2 entities. It can be the government of that final 7 years, and it can be the man Antichrist. Now, here, of course, we're dealing with his government, with the 10 horns and so forth, which I still feel was the composite of the European Union. And now this government that will be coming forth will have all the vestiges of the previous empires before it. And I've gone over this 100 times. The Babylonian was what? The banking system. The Medes and the Persians were commerce, and they're still known for their carpet production and so forth. The Greek Empire was known for its intellectualism, the arts and the sciences and the architecture and the literature and so forth. That was all part of the Greek Empire. Well, it's still with us. Then the Roman Empire was predominantly known for its democratic form of government and the courts of justice. See, that's why Paul, when he couldn't make first base there in Israel, in Caesarea, who did he appeal to? Caesar. Why? Because the Roman government prided itself that a man was innocent until proven guilty. Well, isn't that our credo? Absolutely. So where did it all begin? In the Roman Empire. That was unheard of in the first three empires. So you have all those attributes of the first four great Gentile empires coming together now in a revived Roman Empire, and I feel is headed up by the European Union. And that's why I said 30-some years ago that the euro would appear and it would go right by the dollar. Well, it did, and it still is. And now I think we're probably headed to a completely new global currency, but that's neither here nor there. But now here in chapter 13, then, we have the appearance first of the seven-year government, out of which will come this great world despot. All right, so now then in verse 2, I saw this beast which was like the leopard, the vestiges of the Greek Empire. Feet were the feet of a bear, the remains of the Mede and Persian. And he had the mouth of a lion, the remains of the Babylonian. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. But now remember, who is sovereign above Satan? Well, God is. See, God is still the one that's in control. And so this man will come into authority and power and satanic indwelling by virtue of God's sovereignty. All right, now, in order to see how Satan is going to indwell this individual, back up a page or two in Revelation now to chapter 12. Now, these are things that are hard to take except by faith. You cannot put a two and two together and make it make sense, because it's not the way we normally consider these things, but the Word of God says it, and that's what we have to go by. Revelation chapter 12, and we're at the midpoint. That's obvious because of verses 5 and 6. And so at the midpoint of those final 7 years, verse 7, there's war in heaven. Who would ever think of war in the glories of heaven? But there's going to be. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. All right? And the dragon, or Satan, fought, and his angels, in other words, all his demonic hordes, and he prevailed not. Neither was their place, that is, Satan and his demons, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. And here's why. The great dragon was cast out of heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, just to make this more believable, come all the way back to the book of Job. Way back to Job, which is probably one of the first portions of Scripture put to print. Job, you all know the account, but again, I want you to have you see it with your own eyes. The book of Job, chapter 1. Verse 6. Job, chapter 1, verse 6. I trust you all know them, but let's look at it. Now, why am I coming back here? That Satan has access to heaven. Verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, which in this case we feel were the angelic hosts. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and the Lord and Satan came also among them. You see that? In other words, when God is having a conference with his angelic host, old Satan is in the midst of them. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? And Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking down, up and down in it. And then the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? But all I want you to see was that Satan was already having access into the heavenlies clear back here at the time of Job. All right, come back now with me quickly then to Revelation chapter 12. And so now at the midpoint of the tribulation, Satan and his angels have invaded heaven, but they prevail not. And they were cast out. Now verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom, which I'm always emulating throughout these last years of television, that there's coming an earthly kingdom over which Jesus Christ will rule and reign. Well, at this point now, it's just 3.5 years away. And so now comes salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. Why? For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, that is, out of heaven, who has been accusing them before our God day and night. Now, that's hard for us to comprehend, but I have taught it before, and I'll say it again. Every time one of us sins, who points it out to God? Satan does. He's right there. See what your servant just did? He's a constant accuser of you and I as believers. All right? Now verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe, now watch this carefully, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil, Satan, is come down unto you, having great wrath. Because he knows he has but a short time. How long? 3.5 years. Now, isn't that evident? At the midpoint of the tribulation, he's cast out of heaven. Knowing he only has 3.5 years left, he's going to pour out everything of his vile and his power and his hatred, particularly to the nation of Israel, but to humanity in general. And so that's why I many times make the statement that the tribulation lasts 3.5 years, which Psalms calls the wrath and vexation of God, is also the wrath and vexation of Satan. So it's a double-barreled. It's a double-barreled attack on planet Earth by virtue of this satanic being. All right, now then, when he comes down to the earth and he's going to indwell this man, Antichrist, and that's where he will get his power, according to this verse in chapter 13. Now then, come back to Revelation 13. Verse 2, repeat it. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. This is the empire, the government, has all, like I said earlier, the vestiges of the previous four. And his feet were like a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, see, Satan, gave him his power and his throne and his authority. So Satan is going to indwell him just like he did Judas of old. Now verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered or were amazed after the beast. And now, of course, we're not talking about the empire. We're talking about the individual. And they worshipped the dragon, Satan, who gave power to the beast, the man Antichrist, and they worshiped the Antichrist, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so there was given unto him a mouth. Remember what Daniel said? He will come speaking flatteries. He has the wherewithal to speak fluently. All right? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He's satanic to the core, remember? And power, first from Satan, but sovereignly under God, power was given unto him to continue 42 months. See, that's why I can definitively say this is the middle of the 7 years, because what's 42 months? 3.5 years. And he's going to continue until the end, which is the end of the 7 years. All right, now then, verse 6. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. See, that's why Daniel foretold it first. The Lord Jesus repeated it in Matthew 24, that in the middle of the 7 years, I think we got time. Go back to Daniel a minute so that you'll see where I'm coming from. Go back to Daniel, jump ahead a couple chapters from where we are, and go to chapter 9. These are verses I think most of my listeners are aware of, that in the middle of the week, that final 7 years that as yet has not been consummated, it's still out there in the future, regardless of what some of these scoffers may say. In verse 27 of Daniel 9, the prince that shall come, up there in verse 26, shall confirm or make a covenant or a treaty with many. It will involve Israel and the whole Arab world, the whole Middle East. And he will make this treaty for 1 week or 7 years. It'll be a 7-year treaty. But here's the kicker. Here's the whole clue. And in the middle of the week, or at the end of 3.5 years, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop, and the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it, that is, the restored temple in Jerusalem, he will make it desolate, he will defile it, even until the consummation, in other words, the end of those 3.5 years, and that determined, in other words, everything that's been prophesied shall be poured upon the desolator. All right, now that's the horn that we talked of in chapter 6. Now back to Revelation 13. This is the man Antichrist in all of his satanic power. And with that power, of course, he's going to just literally get the world to fall at his feet. All right, back to Revelation 13. And so here again is the reference to that rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. He's going to blaspheme in verse 6. He's going to blaspheme the name of God, his tabernacle, in other words, the temple that had been operating for 3.5 years. And he shuts it down. But he's also going to blaspheme the dwellers in heaven. Now verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds, and tongues, or languages, and dialects, and nations. In other words, he's going to have total control of the whole world's population. Now, I had a fellow in the business world tell me already 2 years ago that the world now has computer capability of giving a bio, about a one-page biography, of every human being on earth, all 7 billion of them. And so he will have total control of every individual and will be able to track them. And, you know, this is mind-boggling, and yet it shouldn't be anymore when we see the technology that's exploding around us. All right, so he's going to have total political power under the satanic power, but still under God's sovereignty. See? All right, now then, verse 8. And listen, when you see what is happening right here in our own country, my, this isn't hard to believe. This next verse, and all that dwelleth on the earth shall what? Worship him. Why? They'll think he's the Messiah. Israel is going to take him as the Messiah, and the rest of the world will fall in suit. And so they'll worship him, those who have never become believers, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So if any man here have an ear, let him hear. Wake up. Be aware of what's taking place in the world now today. We are in exciting times, no doubt about it. Now then, verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He who killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. So here is the patience and the faith of the saints, that this world ruler with absolute power, almost like Nebuchadnezzar of old, will be ruling planet Earth at least for the last 3.5 years. Now, he will be evident in the first 3.5, but not with the satanic power. He's going to be more or less doing it on his own, but he's still going to be something to be dealt with in the first 3.5 years. All right, then his sidekick, if I can call it that, is in chapter 11, and that is another beast or another human personality coming up not out of the sea but out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, but speaks also as a dragon. Well, now we call this individual then the false prophet. Now, where we get the title is in chapter 19. I think we got time to look over there a minute. And so these two men working in consort under the power of Satan will literally control planet Earth. All right, we pick them up in their end in Revelation 19, verse 20, and then we're going to have to close. Revelation 19, verse 20, and the beast, the man Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet, the one with the lambs and the 2 horns, a religious leader under the world religion that's coming, and they were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. So that is the two major characters of those final 7 years, the beast Antichrist and the false prophet.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.